train. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Welcome. It's Stunk Granny Audio 143.
I
don't know, but we're quickly approaching 150, so we'll have to start planning something fun. As you just heard, that's Kevin. This is Jeremy, and we're here to talk about wrestling and all sorts of stuff on this edition. So
yes. sorry, I was doing two things at once, and I just completely lost my brain. I was smart enough to chime in for the beginning part, and then I was just like, hold on, did he just ask me something?
No, dude, I was doing that to a customer. Did that to me. This guy was going on for 10 minutes. I mean, it seemed like 10 minutes. Just this and this and this, and I just muted my phone, which is really dumb to do, and just said, this guy thinks I'm listening. I haven't listened to a word he said. And all of a sudden he goes, all of a sudden I just hear him stop talking. And I went, uh-oh, I think he just asked me something. So I look at Brad, it's still on mute. I go, he just asked me something. So I just very calmly just went back with, well, you know, I'm not really sure about that. He's like, well, no, I was just saying. I didn't really think you'd have an answer for it. I'm like, whew, boy. Because the important part of this is he was complaining about how no one listened to him. And I'm like, I don't blame everybody else for ignoring you, dude. I mean, you were just rambling. So, anyways.
I'm a jackass for not hashtagging Stunt Granny.
I never remember to do that stuff on Twitter. It's just, I don't know. I always forget. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yes, but anyways, as we're both checking Twitter for no reason.
No, I'm off of it. I just wanted to do. It's sad that I can conjure up more followers just on my own account for no reason, basically whatsoever, than I can on Stunt Granny, even though we have real people that visit the site.
Yep.
And I'm begging and pleading them to help out, and it hasn't worked so far in the last 3 weeks.
Maybe they're just smart. I don't know. But so anyways, there's not a lot really going on in wrestling. That was one of the things we were talking about earlier. There's a WWE pay-per-view coming up this Sunday with not a lot of substance to it. Again, not a lot of substance to one of their pay-per-views.
Well, and they get – because isn't this one of those times, too, that – they had WrestleMania, and then Wuchimahicket was 3 weeks after it. It's one of the – because they still have, what, 14 pay-per-views?
I think they've gone to 12 again. They just don't space them very well because of the saturation of the pay-per-view market for the weekends.
Oh, okay.
I will look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's back down to 12.
Okay, I thought they still were doing 14, so I thought this was one of those times where they had that extra pay-per-view, so it felt extra shitty. Because it just feels extra packed together. They can't do anything. Really, guys on both the new guys on both brands haven't really, it doesn't feel like fucking A, get your thoughts together, jackass. Well, Ray and R-Truth are having a feud, but I mean, that kind of feels like the only sustained feud with new people involved on both shows.
Well, I don't know if it's really a feud, but I mean, you got Chris and Randy Orton, but that's really not a feud yet. I figure after this weekend it will be.
Yeah, and I guess I don't count that as a feud because, well, I mean, they did help each other out this past SmackDown.
Yeah, well, and so that's what I'm getting at.
There is some substance to that. Okay, there are two matches that have some real substance to it.
Yeah, I mean, going by that, yes. Okay, let's see. I'm counting the pay-per-view, so excuse me for a sec.
Okay.
There's 13 of them. They actually skipped March this year because of WrestleMania 27 falling on April 3rd. There are two pay-per-views this month, May 3rd and May 22nd. But after this, it's one a month until you get to October, and for some reason there's two in October. Hell in a Cell and Bragging Rights, October 2nd and then October 23rd. I mean, I understand, you know, pay-per-view generates money, but it doesn't make sense to me why you'd have one 3 weeks later, especially with how UFC's come along and taken a lot of the adult audience probably from wrestling. I mean,
yeah, I just still can't believe there are that many people. Well, and I guess you, for the wrestling ones, you have to pay for them.
What do you mean?
Well, like, I haven't ever paid for a UFC pay-per-view. I just go down to a bar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but with the WWE, I'm not going to... Oh, God, it's been quite some time. I can't think of when B-Dub stopped showing them. It's been... Whew, man, it had to have been early aughts. You know, it had to have been... It's got to be getting close to a decade, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I would say... I'm trying to think of...
Maybe 8 years or something like that.
Well, when did The Rock take on Hulk Hogan? It was at No Way Out or something, wasn't it? It was the February pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Was that Rock Hogan again? Whatever it was, that was the night I was blitzed on my birthday, and I kept calling and leaving you voicemails, giving my criteria of each match. And that shit I didn't remember when I got up to Ohio and you were... Yeah, that was the kid that was giving him life advice.
Yes.
Yeah, as they're escorting out some 50-year-old shoplifter who was stealing Hooters shirts. That's right, the little Christian kids. It's all coming back to me. Oh, my God. Which is where the infamous "Don't follow my path, son" came from.
Oh, my gosh.
I just remember the ex just looking, like, I could just tell her embarrassment. Just, like, fuck these kids. They shouldn't be here anyway. It's just a bar. Go back to Bob Jones, fuckers. Yeah, so anyways. But, yeah, no, that's the pay-per-view market or audience. And just to let you know, there is one in Pittsburgh on July 17th. So just throwing it out there for you.
Yeah, well, I probably won't go.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. But... yeah, but no, as it comes to like new feuds or new issues, there's nothing. I mean,
do you still have that schedule pulled up?
Yeah.
How long ago was that last pay-per-view after wrestling?
May 1st. Yeah, May 1st, so roughly 3 weeks in between.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Extreme Rules was May 1st. Over the Limit is this Sunday, May 22nd.
Oh, God, it's the 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you just didn't have any time to build anything up, which is why it feels like a shit pay-per-view.
Right. And they shouldn't... I'm not a stockholder, but as a stockholder, if they said that we're getting rid of a pay-per-view event, well, then you would... I mean, obviously, you'd have to sit there and question them and go, well, that's revenue. I mean, that's supposed money that you're going to be bringing in. But at the same time, their pay-per-view buy rates are going to shit, so...
Yeah, that's a good reason not to. I mean, if you're not making enough money on it, it's probably just as good to save the money, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, that's been the argument for TNA as well. They shouldn't be doing 12 pay-per-views a month when you get 15,000 people ordering them.
Yeah.
If pay-per-view is a viable money-making endeavor, sure. But TNA, I can't imagine they make a lot of money off of their pay-per-view. I have a hard time believing they make money.
The numbers
period.
Are that, so I, you know, I got nothing on that.
No,
is it literally only 15,000 that they're pulling?
There are some that were only getting 15,000 buys. And I guess it speaks to the more general thing, more general principle of wrestling. Like, you know, Monday Night Raw is the highest rated show on cable, and they get a 3.1, which is roughly just over 4 million people. I guess I've never taken the time to figure out if that's the entire country or if that's the Eastern time zone only.
No,
I'm going to figure
the entire country.
Okay. Then wrestling has no audience. If you honestly, I mean, and I know it's still a big money business, but if you look at it in the context of how many people there are, how many TVs there are, not a lot of people watch wrestling.
No, but I mean, there aren't that many shows that, you know, even get that kind of a rating, though.
Well, no, true, but you look at football or basketball, hell, the Heat, Chicago Bulls pulled in some ridiculous number. I think 14 million people. That's a pretty substantial number. What'd the Super Bowl do just in this country? What, 40 million? Or 60 million? Something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, no, it's always obscene what the Super Bowl does.
Yeah.
Like, comparing it to anything is just...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But no, it goes to the larger view that, you know... You can not complain, but people complain or criticize a 3.1 compared to a 3.9 when it's a million people. And yes, it does make a difference in advertisers, what they're willing to jack them up for. But if advertisers are smart and just look in the long run and go, well, you know, it's not that much. We can get something different.
No. Yeah.
I had a much clearer thought of this until I started rambling and lost it. So
you think wrestling is going to get it's going to disappear? Then is what you're saying, because the ratings aren't high enough.
I don't think I'd say that, but I don't think it's as much as a cultural. It doesn't have as much cultural importance as it gets levied upon it.
Nah, I mean, they're hardcore people that watch it. I mean, it's still higher than a lot of... Like I said, I think that's why I mentioned it's still rated higher than a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... In the scheme of things, yeah, I guess it isn't that popular, but it still unites enough people...
Yeah.
...that there are 10 to 12,000 people in every city that the WWE goes to that head to the arena.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the way that, and I'm not, we're not part of the industry, obviously. Hell, we're barely visible, except the some. So I guess as working to cover, right, as we cover this, it's treated with such a high importance, but in the grand scheme, it's not. It's just like, when I went to the, like, I used to go to the comic conventions, and the artists and writers would hang out and act like they were top shit because, you know, all the fanboys were running up to them. And then I think it was Jay that just said, these guys just love this because in the grand scheme, nobody knows who the hell they are. I think it was Chris Claremont. I don't know if he still does or not, but he used to write the X-Men, and he had a giant run with John Byrne and whoever else. He had fanboys all the time running up to him, just sucking anything they could on him. And as soon as he left, like, as soon as he would leave to, like, walk out, whatever, they'd have people like, all right, shoo, stay away from him. He'd walk away. You could have taken him, put him in the middle of Chicago, no one would have known who that guy was.
Right.
So, and that's what I just feel like wrestlers are, like, and we talked about this before. The litmus test for me is if my parents know who the hell they are. And I think just right now in wrestling, there aren't a lot of guys who my parents would know.
Yeah, I don't even know if people would that many people would recognize Cena, honestly. I mean, yeah, I know he's out there some because I've seen the schick ads or whatever the hell it is on regular TV stations.
But do they – okay, they'd recognize him and go, hey, you're the guy in the Razor commercial. They wouldn't go ahead and say, hey, you're John Cena though. Or – because, I mean
– Probably.
Most of the commercials I watch are at the gym, so I never hear the sound. So I don't know what they actually say most of the time. Which is why that Shake Weight commercial is just enthralling to listen to. Makes that commercial much, much more uncomfortable when you can actually hear the guy. Ugh. Anyways, wow, we got a weird... I took that one for a weird turn. What the hell just happened?
This show is... it's not going to be for everyone.
No.
I know we say that most weeks, but this week, I think it's entirely true. We are all over the roadmap.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the initial point was.
Because we somehow, you kind of started to ramble, and then we took it in the direction of wrestling's going to go away, because that's... But I mean, I don't think it ever go away. Like, it's been around for too long, and I think there would be enough people that miss it that just look at all the little independent promotions too. Like, you know, because I think that Pro Wrestling Ohio isn't the only independent scene in Ohio.
Yeah, oh, no, there's. I wonder if that one in Ravenna is still running. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And they had the guy that, what was it, Evan Colder?
Because that, what is it, that championship, the CWE that PWO did some cross-promotion with last year, they're still running up there because that most recent show in Niles, they used their old facility. Or not old facility, they used the facility that the CWE normally uses.
All right, yeah, I was wondering about that. In front of that dude was standing there trying to, I mean, the Stone Cold impersonator. And everyone was like, oh my god, is that him? As we're standing there for D'Lo Brown. Ugh. But, no, I don't think wrestling in general would go away, but it, unless something happens, it's gonna go right back down to a blip to where it won't be covered by mainstream news. No matter what happens. Like, right now, it can still do something. Like, WrestleMania still garner mainstream news, but at least there's been no, like, wrestler suicides or murders or, you know, death by prescription pills, whatever, in a while.
Right. Yeah, no, it could really use a spark because, I mean, at this point, how long has it been since we probably started complaining that it was going to shit?
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember how long it's been since that stuff really started happening.
Yeah. It was funny because I was talking to Eric today, and he said that he and Dusty were in the middle of a lunch conversation about booking Zack Ryder versus Yoshitatsu. and they're going to save it, so hopefully it'll see the light of day. And Eric's whole point, and I'm not going to try and blow up their convo, but Eric's whole point was that wrestling's getting boring. He's like, you know, you see Karma debut, you see a Karma, and this is his example, so I hope I'm not stealing from his convo, but Karma vignette comes up, Karma vignette, pay-per-view, you know she's going to debut the next day. So they saved it for SmackDown, but, or did they do it for Raw?
No, they did it on Raw first, I think.
Okay. So yeah.
Well, no, they did it the pay-per-view. The first time she came out was the pay-per-view.
I'm sorry, yes it was, yes. But even then, it's like there's no just surprise. Everything's got to be built up, and I mean, we didn't get too much more into it because
or not built up because you know, I mean, isn't that the point that we were trying to make initially? Honestly, was the fact that nothing has been built up for this except for two matches.
Yeah,
and they're both the world title matches. Oh no! Okay, I'm sorry. Three. Then, because Cena and Miz, because they're still going.
Yes, they're still. Oh God, the other one shouldn't be going, but I know what you're going to say.
Oh.
Yeah,
R-Truth, Cole. Barely, and then Christian and Orton.
Yeah, Well, yeah, the Ray thing, it is what it is. It gets him on a pay-per-view, which you need to do, so.
Yeah, I mean, they had to call an audible something fierce on that one.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because I know we were talking a little bit, and it was about the draft, you remember, what did I say? Do you remember Drew McIntyre and Ted DiBiase?
Yeah, and my response was, hey, Teddy got to lose to Cody on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. But Drew McIntyre hasn't been seen since he got moved over.
Yeah, no, he was in that big tag match right after the move over. There was the, because I kind of alluded to it last week, where there are the tag team matches on both shows that featured the guys that moved over.
That's
basically.
Right, that's right. Okay.
They did it on both brands.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, here are new guys.
Yeah. And it's like, are you telling me that that's a better benefit for him to be on Raw in a giant tag match and then not seen the next week where he could have been on SmackDown doing anything else?
Yeah. Well, I think that they're kind of throwing their hands up with him. Like, there's getting de-pushed to the point where you have a losing streak, but at least you're on TV to, like, he hadn't been on SmackDown that regularly, honestly. Like, he did that whole stalking angle with Kelly, and just nothing after that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they kind of aborted that, too. They got rid of that as soon as it was time for Kelly to be on involved in the Snooki thing. But then that got crammed for Trish Stratus instead. So they just kind of undercut it. But even having Drew McIntyre not being used, because going back to what Eric was saying, that there's nothing fresh, there's nothing interesting. Like, Raw wasn't a bad show last night, but it was boring. Because I know I'm stealing his idea here, but it was, I guess he just kind of opened my eyes, because I knew there was a problem last night. I couldn't put my thumb on what it was. And that, as soon as he said that, I was like, that's exactly it. This is paint-by-number stuff now. There's nothing interesting being done on Raw. And that's something, the slightest thing they could rectify. And Eric had a bunch of ideas that he can use some other time.
Yeah, no, it's that way with a lot of programming now. It's just, you can just see so much coming. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God, are you joking? I guess we're both watching the same thing.
Yeah.
Good job, Thomas.
Well, good job, defense, for forgetting about the guy that's, forgetting about your man 13 seconds into the game. Fucking congratulations. Good defense.
Wow.
Jackass.
There goes the crowd. So, anyways, but no, and I was discussing with Eric about this, is that they could be, I guess I don't understand the persistence and the stubbornness. I mean, we've got Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole still going on. You've got The Miz and John Cena still going on. CM Punk is in that holding pattern, apparently until he signs a new contract. Or, you know, they work out something, because if you notice, as soon as those rumors about him possibly not signing a new deal, almost to the week, he hasn't been utilized much until this week. And that was beating Kofi Kingston, who just gets worse and worse in the ring.
Yeah, I don't know. He kind of started to tone things down, and then he didn't do that. And I was glad he finally missed his jump and punches thing that he does in the corner.
Yeah.
Just like, it never works, and you should really see this coming.
Yeah.
I don't care how tired you are.
Yeah, I think the one thing that always makes me laugh now is when Kofi starts going crazy in the ring, and that guy is hyped up in the ring, which is something we'll talk about with Tough Enough as well. He gets in that ring and jumps around as if I don't know why he's doing it. and just from WrestleMania when he was doing all that, you know, going crazy on the way out, and Eric goes, calm down, fucker. Every time he starts jumping around now, I have Eric's voice in my head saying that. And it cracks me up every time because it's like, act like you've been in a wrestling ring before. And the crowd clearly isn't buying into him. Because there were crickets last night for Kofi.
I don't know. I tend not to agree with you because you guys say their crowd is up doing the boom boom thing. So it's kind of hard to believe either of you.
But no, but even last night, he did the boom boom thing. There was not.
I know you're saying it, but you're not listening to what I'm saying.
No, you kind of broke up, so I actually couldn't, so I was just trying to go with
it. I said that I have a bad habit of not believing you two.
Oh.
I don't remember it being that bad last night, but I don't remember paying attention to it either. Because you guys just, and maybe it's just because it's boring, and we have nothing better to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do an hour show on Kofi Kingston's crowd reactions. Go. Just text me when you're done, and I'll hit stop record. But no, honestly, last night was one. I mean, I know sometimes.
I know. I guess I always think that he's getting more of a reaction than either of you ever think. And so I have a hard time believing that he got no reaction.
Yeah.
But
last
I don't
night, man,
particularly remember it.
Yeah, last night it was pretty stark. I mean, he did the whole boom boom, like he did the on the stage, but even that didn't get much of a. I mean. Not as much as you'd think for somebody they've been really pushing as, you know, this goody-goody babyface. And maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, their real problem is that even at the end of that SmackDown run, like, whatever he had gotten back together, because I thought he was generally moving direction, but, they stopped letting him talk. He still hasn't gotten back to it all.
Yeah.
Which seemed to be one of the things that him use his own voice. And I thought he had toned down some of it around in the ring. But that's kind of gone back up.
Yeah.
But the last, how many months has it been, though? I was trying to get back to my point. Sorry to cut you off.
No, but sorry. I had nothing.
It's been at least a couple of months that Booker has said every time he's come out, and I know Booker isn't the greatest announcer, but he's like, man, Kofi really needs this one. He needs a big win. And it's been like 2 months. Like, it's almost been Booker's whole reign on SmackDown has been Kofi really needs this big win. Like, I mean, him, McIntyre, Swagger, they've all kind of thrown them into neutral.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and that kind of goes back to they've got, it seems like a chicken and an egg situation, chicken and egg situation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where everyone's like, oh, you've really got to shine when you're out there. And it's just like, well, aren't they supposed to write something decent for you? Like, I don't feel like there's anything even worth buying into half the time. It's just like, do the wrestlers need to come up with everything and then get it shot down by management?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, because how many times also do you read, we came to them with this idea, this, that, and the other idea, but, you know, they decided to go a different direction. It's just like something needs to change. Like, I don't know if it's the writing staff or the head or –
no, we got into this last week, and
well, no, and it's the more general, I guess, because I guess that's what made me think about it was the way you worded what Eric said is that everything's stale, and mm-hmm. It's just like those new faces. They started the new face initiative, but Sheamus isn't even really up on that billboard anymore.
No, and the whole them jobbing on SmackDown, moving all those people around, SmackDown has no heels. You have Mark Henry and you've got Sheamus. And then you go and job out. I can't remember who lost, but you jobbed them out last week. So there's no threat for after Christian and Randy Orton, which makes you think one of them turns heel. But even then, it's stale. It's like, oh, good, now we get a heel Randy Orton again. Or you get a heel Christian who, why would you take him seriously? No, it really is stale. And we were talking about different people, and the one guy I kept saying that they're missing out the money on is Evan Bourne. And I know he's tiny, he's not in their mold, but people are behind that shooting star move, the shooting star press. It's a dead horse, really, but he looks like one of those little mini, those, I don't know what they're really called, like micro wrestler things.
Oh.
Where they're caricatures, like CM Punk is fucking built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, no.
Evan Bourne's got that little caricature on his t-shirts. He's got a cool name, Airborne. It just seems, I'm not saying he needs the main event pay-per-views, but get him on screen. Have him win matches. Have him and Santino fight. Santino's worthless now.
Yeah.
Have him beat Kozlov. Have him beat people and use somebody new and build him up. Use him as a white Rey Mysterio. I mean.
Well, and how bad is it too that even Santino, I'm starting to miss his dumb comedy bits. Like some
the
of
the good ones, yes.
Even the belabored ones, it's just like, man, like they don't even seem to have anything like that to break up how the show is going.
Yeah, and this goes actually perfectly into something I wanted to mention was you've got a guy in Zack Ryder who's getting an internet following, all right? I'm not about to say, he's got a big following, this and that, whatever.
It's, he's getting about 100,000 views a week, a show.
Okay.
But so, still, I mean, if we're thinking, 4 million audience, and he's only getting 100,000 of them?
Yeah.
I'm guessing more people have access to the internet than the 100,000.
Well, if you go by stereotypes, probably not. Well, you got a guy like Zack Ryder who's, you see people, and I'm sure this is just the goofy internet thing that doesn't mean anything, but you see people in the crowd with his shirts, you got people in the with the Broski of the Week or Brosquette. I thought that was kind of funny last week.
Yeah.
You got a guy, and when we were in Atlanta, the Raw after WrestleMania, they had the Superstars taping. His music hit, 70% of that arena started cheering.
Yeah.
So there's something there. Why not move him up to Raw for a while? I mean, they've been slowly moving him in.
Well, he's the only guy with any type of discernible gimmick that you can buy into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, all the gimmicks just seem like Kofi, I guess, is probably a good example. They kind of forced the whole Jamaican thing on him, but then we thought as soon as he acted like himself, we're like, oh, man, this guy is pretty fucking cool. Like, he's got a good voice, this, that, and the other thing. Well, Zack Ryder seems to fit right in there.
Yeah. And, well, all right, and I guess this was part of the point I wanted to bring up in a different conversation was Zack Ryder's doing all this stuff, and it would be nice to see just something new. I'm not saying he – and again, this isn't that he needs to be fighting or wrestling John Cena in the main event. Not saying he needs to be in the main event of pay-per-views. I'm not saying he has to be on a pay-per-view period yet. But give him a chance. Have him fight Santino. Have him fight Drew McIntyre. I mean, just something. Get some new blood on the show. It's been fun seeing him in those goofy backstage things with John Cena now. And Cena taking his t-shirt and walking off.
Yeah.
And I was,
it's getting him something, but that's still, it isn't much.
Right, right.
And,
but here's the thing I wanted to talk about a little bit. Is this a carefully constructed angle or a grassroots campaign by WWE for him that he's a part of? Or is this something he's actually doing and the boys in the back are getting behind it? And that way he's getting some attention out of it. Am I making myself clear?
I just want to make sure. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to answer it because I mean, even internet-wise, like, is anybody else doing anything like that now? Because when Miz and
Matt Hardy is, thank you.
Well, no, he isn't.
I know.
No, I mean, no, I mean, he's doing his own shit, but he's not entertaining, and
yeah,
the gimmick that he has sucks. Like, you can tell it isn't him. You know, like, Zack Ryder, you can believe him being kind of a Guido Long Island guy.
Yeah.
And he does Guido better than Jersey Shore does at this point.
Yeah. I think, I know this has nothing to do with the point, but just something worth mentioning is, my favorite part of his Long Island Ice Z's are his dad being a John Morrison fan. And when they were singing Happy, did you see episode 13?
Yeah.
They were singing Happy Birthday, and his dad's in the John Morrison coat doing the pose singing Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
That's just funny. No,
I guess what I was trying to get to was that he's the only one doing anything creative, because, like, when Miz and Morrison had their show, Crime Time was also doing something, Santino's Casa was going on. Like, there's been no one that has reached out like him since those three shows were on to the internet crowd.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, but the funny thing is, those were sanctioned by WWE. Where this, and this is what I'm getting at, is this doesn't seem to be sanctioned by WWE, even though they have Scott Sandiford in it, and he's using he's had some other guys in there.
Yeah. So, John Cena, most notably, even if it's for 5 seconds.
Right. But, so it just seems to me that, and this is the part I'm trying to get around now, is this a legit homegrown thing, or is this a WWE manipulated situation? Where this is a Santino's Casa, this is, the dirt sheet. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I guess it could be. I mean, because it seems to have some pretty solid production value to it.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got to think that there's more involved than just Zack Ryder. But, I mean, maybe he's pretty good with that kind of stuff, too.
It doesn't take Windows Movie Maker. So.
Uh-uh. It really doesn't take that much.
Yeah.
So... It's hard to tell, honestly. Like, with him not getting any TV time, like, I'd have to think that... I mean, they started using Mrs. Morrison's show almost right away, but that was because they were already on television already.
Right, yeah.
Like, Ryder isn't even on TV, so I don't know if they want to see if it lasts longer. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The dude's writing some fairly funny material. Like, I mean, he's, you know, maybe not a comedian by trade, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, that stuff with him and Scott Sandiford, what was it, the Invisirope? The invisible jump rope?
Yeah.
That shit was great. And then, there was a video of Scott Sandiford, I think it was from one of the Long Island ICs, where he was doing the Yankee or sports highlights, and he used the woo woo woo, you know it.
Yeah.
The woo woo, yeah.
Yeah, no, because he must be on there on a regular basis. Like, he might be just like the Weekend Crew or whatever, but shit, whatever. He's on TV for New York metropolitan area.
Yeah. And the guy's got some skills too, which is kind of strange. And I don't know. I want to say that it's a real thing because of the way the other wrestlers treat him on Twitter. Like, CM Punk was talking about him with, you know, he's saying that he's a fan of Ryder, and someone asked why, and Punk said because he's passionate about what he does and he's talented, you know. And I know that's, like, really small praise, but it's still praise. It's not something he needed to come out and say. I mean, these guys are obviously – I'm sure there's, like, some – I was going to use the word chummy, but whatever. But, I mean, I'm sure they're friends backstage, and the younger guys who aren't the established, like Triple H and Undertaker and that, are possibly supporting each other. which would be a rare thing, you know? So I really want to believe that these are just him being goofy. I don't know. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hope it, because that was the big 11 3 weeks ago when I mentioned him. I was like, this has got to translate into something on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd hope. That's what I was talking to Eric, where I mentioned to him that it was fun seeing him on TV because when he popped up, it was like, yes! He's like he's getting on TV finally. Even if it's just giving John Cena a T-shirt or something stupid, you know?
And he did the same thing, something similar last week where he just did a little fist pumping with him or something.
Yeah, he was in the background doing the fist pump. But see, all right, now here's the other problem with him, though. He's a joke character right now. There are no joke characters that are successful right now. They don't get any credit. I mean, they don't go anywhere. Santino, he's like a borderline joke character because he's worked in enough to where he can be sort of be taken seriously. I mean, he's got the Cobra.
I can't believe those words just went together.
Yeah, I know. But as dumb as that sounds, he's got his own like gimmicky move. He was part of a tag team, you know, where Ryder is just kind of this goofy, like really gimmicked up guy. But it's like, make up your fucking minds then. Do you want a gimmick wrestler or do you want the same generic bland bullshit that's going out? And it's clear right now they only want the bland stuff.
This kind of goes to the more overall thing because you kept on talking about bland.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the reason why it's so funky. Like, there's only the one woman's thing, and it is so short now.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, it doesn't, like, before, it used to provide a little bit of a buffer. Like, I'm not saying that they ever got, like, 12-minute matches consistently or anything crazy like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we tend to work in hyperbole a lot, so I guess it's good every now and again to be a little more reasonable. But, you know, even if they got like 5 minutes or something like that, 5 to 8 minutes, like it would feel like it's broken up. Or if they just got a skit to get themselves over, like... No, one else, kind of going back to like just nobody else gets the time. Like you mentioned Triple H and Undertaker, like those guys aren't even on TV. Right now. And so you can't even blame them for hogging up time. So it's like falling on the new old guys.
I'll tell you who you can blame for hogging up time, but.
The Cena gets it.
Miz.
Honestly, the Miz gets a shit ton. Like, Alex Riley got all that time, and. You know, I don't know. I guess I understand it. But still, it's not helping anybody else. Like, Riley isn't doing anything. He's on Raw, taking up their time, and he's a SmackDown wrestler now. That's fine if The Miz makes him do his intro duties or whatnot, and he's on the program too, but man, they need to do, just something. Like, I don't care what it is to shake it up. Cause the other dead horse that we like to beat too is tag team wrestling. Like, just to get people on there. Like, a guy like Evan Bourne could team with someone to be a solid tag team. And then, A, you get two guys over for the most part, or four guys, potentially.
Right.
With the people that you're fighting. And they're not just sitting there doing nothing. And you have another division that would break things up because it's like, oh, it's a tag team match. That means it's two guys that don't like each other. Like Randy Orton and Christian from this past week on SmackDown against two guys that kind of don't like each other in Sheamus and Mark Henry.
Mark Henry, yeah. Right. No. They've done a good job. Like, I got two thoughts that just collided. You've got guys, and I'm not saying that they make a difference, but you don't know. Like, there's a guy like Tyler Rex. How long are they going to keep him on the roster and not use him?
And
Kurt Hawkins is around. I mean, it.
And then they had him reunite with Zack Ryder at one of the house shows, didn't they?
I believe so. Yes. And even that's fine. That'd be hilarious.
Have him join into the Guido gimmick, or keep them a little bit different, and let it go that way.
There you go.
Just let him be another New Yorker. Like, have it also be another stereotype New York thing.
Or no, do vignettes where, you know, they go out to wrestle, but you've got it. All right, a good example of this is, believe it or not, when America's Most Wanted used to be a viable tag team. They're building, and for those who don't remember, Chris Harris, before he was turned into the guy who ate Chris Harris, and James Storm. When TNA first started, they put those guys together, and it was the country yokel and James Storm and Chris Harris, who was not the country yokel. So they would clash heads. So why not take that very basic wrestling gimmick, put Hawkins and Ryder back together? Don't even acknowledge they used to be a team. I don't care about that. It's so long ago, their audience now isn't going to remember anyways. And just have, you know, Hawkins as whatever he is. I mean, really, he has no character, so it'd be kind of hard to do this. But, and then why not have Ryder constantly doing the fist bump and trying to get him to, you know, what's it? Something and spike your hair. What the hell's the?
Take care, spike your hair.
Yeah. Have him go, I mean, show goofy shit with the spray tanning. I mean, as dumb as this was, remember when Chuck Palumbo and
Billy Gunn?
No. It was WCW. It was Palumbo. Dusty's gonna kill me because
what, the Natural Born Thrillers?
Yes. Who? What was their tag team?
Jindrak and O'Hare.
Was it Jindrak?
But
no, it was Palumbo and somebody. I'm almost positive.
Oh shit. Plumbo was with someone else because it was Jindrak and O'Hare, and who the hell was that? Oh, that's gonna bug the shit out.
All right, internet, come help me. Da, 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 da.
well, you gotta screw up a perfectly good conversation since I yelled at us.
Yeah, but the whole thing is. They had, and as dumb as this was, it was still somewhat of a, it was a goofy little thing, which is what they need to be doing. Sean Stasiak, that was it.
Yes.
Okay. They went to a tanning booth or something, and they had, I mean, this is such a stupid thing, I don't even know why I remember it, but they went to a tanning booth, and whoever they were fighting locked them in the, tanning booth. So they were burnt to a crisp red, and they had the belts on, so they had the belt marker when they had to take the belts off. It's a throwaway bit, but it was at least entertaining, and it got over the fact that these two are idiots. Well, not idiots, but they're so into themselves, so narcissistic, that they wouldn't even take off the gold because it enhanced who they were. Even though they're in their underwear, or, well, I guess they're in their underwear. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could do something like that with Ryder and Hawkins. Or why not, you know, since Kozlov is worthless, why not have Santino go up to Chuck – not Chuck Palumbo. Oh, my God. What's the other guy I mentioned? Tyler Rex. Be like, hey, vicious man, I need a new partner.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I've dug – like, I don't know if he's any better in the ring or not, and I only maybe saw one or two of his matches on Superstars. But I really dug when Tyler Rex went to the – grew out the chest hair, went to the dreads. No. He always had those, didn't he?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
He added the beard. Like, he had that first appearance on ECW, and he added the beard and the chest hair. And it's just like, man, this guy kind of has a whole different look to it, and I kind of dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole surfer vibe just really wasn't going over. And it's just like, you know, I don't know, like, give him some type of a chance. Like, if you don't put him anywhere, going back to one of the earlier points, like, you've got to have some time to shine. Like, you can't just go, oh, well, we need someone to stand out, but we're not going to give any of you TV time.
Right.
Or, hey, we're going to give you TV time. You're starting to stand out. Okay, we're going to kill your push, like, completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, like, I thought Swagger, I'm like, oh, I didn't see it at first. And then I'm like, oh, I understand where they're going. And then they threw him into the bad gimmick with the dad stuff was okay. But the whole trophies and bringing that crap in, it's just like, dude, after he's champion, like this, you pick this gimmick after he's champion, like, if you were just bringing him in, that's fine, but it's just like, wow, this is way too late for him to be getting the
saddle. Yeah, or if he's going after a championship, you show all of his, you know, championship credentials, if you want to put it that way. Not after he wins it, goes, well, he's world champion, but he used to be the Scrabble champion of 2005. I'm like, what? There are plenty of guys on the roster, but it just goes back to what we talked about last week. It's one guy whose view and whims change as the wind blows. And you've got a writing staff that will do anything to appease him.
Well, do you think one of the problems, though, is that the guy that needs to be appeased, I would have to say, does not have a PG mind. I know that he had Hogan during that time, but did Hogan make him look like more of a genius? You know, like, there wasn't that much kid-friendly stuff.
Yeah, but you got to remember, it was a different time, all right? And he also got to pluck the best workers. I mean, you had Jake Roberts, Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage. You had all those guys that were already just laced with talent, not projects like they are now. Like a Tyler Rex, he's a project. A Miz, who was a giant project. You know, you didn't have the guys who could talk you in, who knew the proper psychology. I mean, you had a guy like Ted DiBiase, who was 6'5", or 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is, rail thin, but he talked such a good game, and in a PG fashion, he didn't need to say, yeah, I'm going to rip your eyeballs out and skull fuck your mother while I make you watch as I piss in your dad's mouth or something. You know, he just very simply said, I'm the $1 million man. I want the belt. I'm going to do this. That was it. And then they went in the ring, and you had the ultimate babyface in Hulk Hogan to play off of course. I think it's just a different time, and McMahon hasn't adjusted with that changing climate.
Okay. Yeah, I would like that answer. I'm cool with. I mean, I'm glad we kind of got to that.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like he doesn't want these guys to have an over the top gimmick, but at the same time, he wants them to have a gimmick and then for live the gimmick so that nobody knows that it's not real. But you've got all your wrestlers on Twitter, you've got the internet, you've got multiple sites like ours that carry news about people in their real life, or the stupid shit they do, or their contract situations and all this. So it's, I don't think he's adapted well. And this is something that the younger guys, or younger people, I should say, in Stephanie and Triple H need to realize and need to get in his head and go, look, this is how it is. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't think he's adapted well to any of this stuff. I really don't. And I think he's had enough people around him for the longest time that could cover it up for him. No, not cover it up, but compensate for it.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. Like, there aren't a lot of guys that it's just been so blow you away that, you know, you couldn't really deny it at all. I mean, just even look at the two guys. I mean, as much as we make fun of Mr. Pill Popper there, Kurt Angle. Like, when he came on the scene, like, there was just no getting around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At all. And even with Lesnar, who we talked about last week, when he came in, there just was no getting around it. That guy was monstrous. He was quick. He was mobile. Like, he even seemed to, you know, have a pretty decent game on the mic. Like, I still don't think he, you know, was great, but, you know, he did well enough that he could back up his monster heelness.
Yeah. Well, it helped in that case, obviously, the look. But they also used to get, and this is maybe the talent relations problem, John Laurinaitis, that maybe, you know, they're getting athletes, but they're not getting,
personalities.
Yeah. It's like it's athletes, which is also kind of the knock on some of the UFC guys too. It's like, you know, they're great athletes, but they can't sell a match. And I guess it's a different environment for them, but.
Yeah, no, you can get away, because it's a different environment, you can get away with it there. But in the WWE, you can't really, where it does depend upon the mic time that we've talked about on and
off. Yeah, because in wrestling, you have to talk the people into the building. Where in UFC, MMA, whatever, you know, you're gonna fight to get people into the building. So, but, I don't know. Wish we would have brought that up earlier. We could have had a much longer conversation on it. But,
hey, you know, we only wasted like the first like 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so I don't even know if I feel like talking about Tough Enough now. How long has this damn thing been going on, anyways?
Yeah, no.
Is that why my screen's been flashing? I've been ignoring it.
Yeah,
it's been about an hour. So let's say. We'll save the Tough Enough talk for another time, and then maybe we'll revisit this conversation just like we did. We said we're going to revisit the other one, too. So let's get the fuck out of here. We'll leave it at that. You know what? If you agree with us, disagree with us, whatever, add your own two cents. You can post on the comment section for this. You can email us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at stuntgranny, on Twitter, or at stuntgranny, excuse me. So you can find us, let us know if we're full of shit, how wrong we were, whatever else. So, just as long as you keep reading and listening, that's fine. So, I'm gonna check out. Have a good night, everyone, or day, whenever you listen to this, and we'll get you next time.
Okie doke, grandkids, it's time for, my sippy time beer. I'm going to, walk my dogs first and then, grab that beer second.